All right, this is September 15th, and this is Back to Basics.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I am hoping that you worked on that while I was away for a month, and you allowed that to seep into your consciousness. Because that's what this whole teaching is about. And when I decided to do this for September called Back to Basics, we started the first week with the idea of what is metaphysics. And all metaphysics is meta means behind. So metaphysics is what is behind the physical. And we're always talking about what is behind, because in the Bible it says all things seen come from things that are not seen. Ernest Holmes puts it this way: what we see comes from that which we do not see. So we always know that there's something going on beyond the physical world, and that whatever's behind the physical world is what's causing the physical world. And we're going to call that mind. So that's all that metaphysics is. And this teaching teaches that we can use this idea, and we can use our own mind. And tonight we're going to talk about mind. And when we use the word mind, what we mean there is the mind of the universe, or mind itself. You could call it big mind if you want. And that we're all part of that big mind, and we are all individually using the mind, or the mind of God. So we are truly living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God, or in the mind of the universe. Why is that so important? Because other religions teach you that there is a God, which is true, but they teach you that you're separated from that God. And this teaching does not teach separation. It teaches no duality whatsoever. It teaches unity, that you are one with this thing that we call God. And that is what you want to get into your consciousness, that you actually are the thing itself. Ernest Holmes refers to God as the thing itself. And the ancients used to call it no thing or nothing. No thing. Because you cannot put a name on it. We put the name God on it, or good on it, whatever we want. We're the ones that are doing that. We have no idea what this thing is. We do know how to use it, though, and we know that it also, this mind, has to work through what's called the law of attraction, or the law of mind. So what you think about, you are going to bring about. And that's what you want to learn, to control your own thinking. See? Use your mind, and know that the mind that you're using is that individualized expression of the one mind. And that mind knows everything, sees everything, and knows how to do everything. So if you look at it that you're living in a world, or in a whole field, I always look at it as a field of possibilities. And that's possibility after possibility is out there. You must choose what possibility that you want. You choose the outcome, you see. Anything in your consciousness projects itself into reality. Anything that you're thinking about. If you think you're sick, you're going to be sick. If you think you're well, you're going to be well. And yes, we go in and out of these different things. But we do it with our own thinking. The mind of the universe, or the mind of God, just reflects back what you are thinking. So you cannot change the mind of God. You can change your mind. The mind of God is always for you. It is never against you. And it wants you to succeed. That's what it wants. I heard the other day on the radio somebody say, I hope that the person gets to really know how much God loves them. Well, That's absolutely true, but that is a given. That's one of those given things. You have to realize that God absolutely loves you. Now, that's very important to know that, but it won't get you very far knowing that God loves you. What gets you far is learning to love yourself. What gets you anything is learning to love yourself. So most of this stuff that you in other philosophies, other religions and so forth, want you to think, oh, well, I can do this, this and this because God loves me. No, you can't unless you learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself, you see. Using this mind, using this system. So that's what metaphysics is all about, and that's what we say mind. We call this the science of mind. It's a science not only of the mind of the universe, it's the science of your own mind. And how are you using your thinking? Have you learned to use your mind correctly? We're not taught that. We didn't get a hand booklet. No directions on how to do that. And we look around at the world and we see what the world is doing and we think, oh, that's what we have to do. No, we do not have to follow what the world is doing. We have to start to think for ourselves and make sure that our mind is doing what it's supposed to be doing for us so that we can live a successful life, a happy life, a joyful life, and a prosperous life. And if you're not doing that, it means that somewhere along the line you're not thinking correctly about yourself. You're not loving yourself enough. So learn to love yourself more and more and more. That you'll find that that's the whole key to this. We're taught that things happen outside of us. Nothing happens outside of us. Everything happens inside of us and with our thinking, with our consciousness. So we're always building that consciousness, you see. I explain it many times. People want abundance and prosperity, but they do not have an abundant consciousness. They have a consciousness of lack and limitation because they buy into the world, and the world tells you that things are scarce, you see. And things are not scarce. We live in an abundant universe. You cannot count grains of sand on a beach, nor can you count the leaves on a tree. I see these great, big, beautiful ficus trees out here in the street, and I just wonder how many leaves are there. I mean, it's just abundant. And that's what you have to realize, that you're living in abundance. So when you start to think that there's scarcity, when you start to think that there's lack and limitation, you have to correct that. And the appearance is that that may be so, but it's not so. You are abundant. You are prosperous right here and right now. So, with that little introduction, would you read that and pass it, please?
I envision only the best for my life.
I envision only the best for my life.
I envision only the best for my life.
And I envision only the best for my life. You have to know that about yourself, and you have to know that about your life. You're the one who's doing that. So don't buy into what the world is telling you, that you're falling apart, that there's a lack of money, that there's a lack of anything. Envision only good coming to you. Remember, you're always moving from your good to your greater good. This thing called God doesn't know lack and limitation. It only knows abundance. It only knows prosperity. So you have to change your thinking. Now, brand name churches do not tell you that. Just say they tell you, oh, if you really love God and God loves you and this things are going to happen for you. Not unless you learn to love yourself. Not unless you learn to change your mind about things. That's why I teach you that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Those are the four legs to your table. If you know those four legs, your table is very sturdy. If you only know two or three of them, You have a wobbly table or a wobbly platform to think from. So you always have to go back to that idea that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Let's quickly do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes, and learn that is what it's all about. You do matter. And you not only matter to yourself, you matter to this thing that we call God or this thing that we call the universe. Those are one and the same things, by the way. They're just interchangeable. God and the universe are one and the same. You can't have God and the universe, because if you had God and the universe, that would be duality. So everything is God. Now, you've heard that in every other religion, all is God. So then why would you place yourself outside of that you weren't that? We know that religion teaches us that we were created by God. Well, if we were created by God, then all those qualities of God have to be inside of us. They have to be intrinsic with inside of us. You see? So know that. You don't have to learn anything. All you have to do is draw something from you. I think I've explained that once before. The word education means to draw out. It doesn't mean to pound in. But our public schools pound things into people. They do not draw things out. They do not cause people to think. They give them information and they just keep putting stuff into them. But all that you need is already in you. You have to pull it out. Because here again, you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. So, you have to know that, and you have to know the other thing that you're always being taken care of. This thing called God is taking care of you. It has to be taken care of you because you are it. You see? Makes sense? Absolutely. But other religions aren't doing that at the present moment, and they may never get around to doing that. But that doesn't matter in the least, and we don't hate them or anything for that. Brand-named religions are going to be around. All kinds of religions are going to be around. You have to make up your own mind what you want to think about this thing called God. Enough people have thought about it and wrote it down, and you take that for granted that they know what they're talking about. I would never do that. You see? I read all that stuff and I go, well, that could be true, it could not be true, but I'm not going to set out to prove it for myself. You see? So learn to prove it for yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to control your thinking so that you can think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel. If we would learn those two items along with the worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, the whole world would change. The whole world would change or not. We wouldn't blame anybody. We wouldn't go after anybody else's stuff. You see? We would have peace. We would have harmony. And here again, peace and harmony has to start within you. If you don't have peace and harmony, the world is not going to have peace and harmony. So peace and harmony starts with you. And then you bring it into your own home, and then you spread it out into your community, and then you just keep spreading it around the world. But it has to start with you. And the reason why we have conflicts and so forth in the world is because we don't do that, you see. As long as we have domestic violence, we will have war. And we have domestic violence going on. And you cannot have that, you see. You have to love yourself. When you love yourself, you learn to love everybody else. And you let everybody else be who they are and express themselves the way they wish to express themselves. You see? But the world wants to tell you we all have to act alike. See, the world wants everyone to become homogenous. And we're not homogenous. You see, we're individuals, and we're individual expressions of this thing called God. We're individual expressions of this one mind, and that's what we have to remember. Then we learn to use our mind so that we can influence the big mind, so that we can impress it with what we want. And when we do that, it reflects back to us. The reason why we don't get the things sometimes that we want is because we don't concentrate on it long enough. We don't make a deep enough impression. We jump to another conclusion, we jump to another thing, instead of staying with what you really want. So you visualize, but you visualize with not only your thinking, you visualize with feeling. You have to use your feeling with that. See yourself doing it. How will it feel? What will people say? How will I act? All those things. In the 70s, when they had the human potential movement, they used the term all the time, fake it till you make it, or act as if. So you have to act as if. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. As soon as you assume something, you start to have it, because everything is inside here. Everything is in, when I go in here, it's everywhere, you know, it's everywhere. And we have that in us. So we just draw those things out. So we learn to what? We learn to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves, and to forgive everybody else. Know that we're all doing the very best we know how. And that the right outcome is going to come, you see. The best in life is waiting for you. And you're moving towards that all the time. You're always moving forward. God does not move backwards, you see. So you cannot move backwards. So many people think that, oh, what if I lose this, that, and the other thing? You never lose anything in this universe, and you certainly don't lose anything. And when I'm saying losing something, I'm talking usually about money. People think, oh, I'll lose my job, and I won't have this money and that and the other thing. Once your consciousness is stretched, it cannot go back. Once you know something, you can no not know it. So you want to know the things about yourself, stretch your consciousness, and here again, visualize your consciousness stretching. And then learn to give up all those lack and limitation ideas that were handed to you, probably by your family and by the world itself. The world is not going to teach success, it's going to teach failure, and it's always going to teach lack and limitation. You never hear anything about the world telling you that it's abundant. You don't hear that. You hear, oh, there's not enough for this. There's people starving. There's this going on. There's that going on. All those things are true. But here again, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, the poor will always be among us. Now, he did not mean poor in poverty. He meant poor in consciousness. But when you're poor in consciousness, it outpictures it in poverty you become. So if you use your own thinking, use your own mind, not somebody else's thinking, use it. I teach this class and I say all these different things, and take what I say, analyze it. If it makes sense, use it, but then change it into something you can understand. You're seeing. Just to spout off what I'm saying or whatever somebody else is saying is not helpful. That's just regurgitating stuff. That's what most people do who think they're educated. They're just spouting off somebody else's knowledge. Learn to make your own knowledge. Learn to think of God the way you want to think of God. Learn to think of this teaching the way you want to think about this teaching. You see? And here again, remember, Ernest Holmes, who wrote Science of Mind, was not the only metaphysician in the world. There are tons of other metaphysicians out there, and one of them that I absolutely adore is Emma Curtis Hopkins. And she's the one, remember, who said you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. So that's what we're doing when we say mind and science of mind. We're learning to control our mind. If we don't control our mind will control us. So that's like the tail wagging the dog. And you must not let the tail wag the dog. You must use your thinking. And your thinking is very, very powerful. But your mind, for some reason, and I do not know the answer to that, always wants to put you down. It never builds you up. It puts you down. And that's because of this thing that we call race mind. And we live in that thought atmosphere. And we've lived in that thought atmosphere for centuries. And we think that that's the way mind works. Mind does not work. We have to get to the bigger mind. And here again, when I use the word race mind, you all know what that is. That's thinking like the world and so forth. That there's lack and limitation, that there's disease, there's this going on and that going on. That is complete race mind. But there's not God's mind and there's not race mind. There's only one mind. So contained in that one mind is race mind. So we're only using that portion of mind. The same way we are taught that we only use about 5% of our brain, you see. We have to realize that there's more. We can think bigger thoughts. We can do better with our own mind. So, regardless of how intelligent you are, you're not using your full potential, your full mind. Know that about yourself and ask this thing to open up new areas. Ask your own mind. When I have an idea that I don't like, I say, I don't like that idea. Give me a better idea. That idea is not working for me. And my mind will start to do that. You have to train it to think, you're saying. You have to train it to do that. And we're not taught that. And that's why we get into all these difficulties all the time. The mind is very convincing. The same way the world is very convincing. Your mind convinces you that you don't have enough, you don't do enough, and you are not enough. And you have to change that and realize that that is not true. That your mind absolutely lies to you all the time. So you pick it apart, you become a witness to your own thinking. And you put it out there on a screen and you say, oh my goodness, look at that. Because you are not your thinking, people. You see, the mind wants to tell you that your thinking is who you are. No, that's just thinking. And you can change that thinking anytime you want. We all know that we're not our bodies, but we don't know that we're not our mind. And we are not our mind. We're much more than that. Our mind is ours to use. The same way you use a computer, you're not the computer. You use your mind. You are not your mind. You have to learn to use your mind and to think the thought that you want to think. So regardless of what's going on out there, regardless of what your mind wants to do, you have to change that thinking. Now, one of the ways that you change that thinking is to realize the truth instead of letting your mind tell you facts all the time. Facts always change. They will always change facts. Facts are not permanent things. Truth is always a permanent thing. So the truth is, money is always freely circulating in my life. A fact is, at the present moment, my bank balance may be low. That's a fact. It can come up any time. It can do anything it wants. Now, how do we get those things to happen for us? We first state the truth. I live in an abundant universe. This thing called God is always for me. It's never against me. Money is freely circulating in my life, you're saying. Now you make that statement. And then you go and come up with an idea of how to bring more into your life, you see. And that's what we don't do. We look at that fact and we say, oh, because we think that our job is where the money's coming from. And it's not where the money's coming from. You have to know that God is your source and your supply. God is always the source and the supply. Now, you have a job and you're making tons of money maybe on that job. You lose that job and many people lose their job. And say, oh, what am I going to do now? I'll never get... No, you'll get another job. because it's only a channel. And if you know that it's only a channel, if you know that you're always being taken care of, if you know that God is always the source and the supply, then you don't worry about that. But most people are taught to worry about their job. Oh, I'll lose my job. Oh, I'll do this or this. Because they can only see one source of their supply. Earlier I said we live in a field of total possibilities. So one job is not going to take your prosperity away from you. You may lose the job. It may take you a minute. But if your consciousness is stretched, it's going to fill up again. It's the whole idea. If you take to the well a thimble, how much water can you put in a thimble? Only the size of the thimble. If you take a bucket, if you take a truck, if you take bigger, the water will fill that up. That's what mind is about. Most people only can think a thimbleful. You have to think bigger. I'm bigger about yourself, bigger about this thing called God, bigger about the universe itself. And you have to see that in your mind's eye. My container is getting bigger and bigger. As my container gets bigger, more comes to fill it up. More comes to fill it up. But if you go to the well with a thimble, that's all the water you're going to have. All the water. So use those little things. These are visual things for you to use to correct your thinking and to see how you can put something better into your life. This teaching is to teach you to go through life differently than most people go through life, and to teach you to be happy and filled with joy and not have all these nits and fleas of life that most people have. Worried about this, worried about that, da 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 da. That's not what life is. That's not what we are here for. This thing called God would not create us, throw us down here, and then have all this mayhem going on. Well, that does not make sense. And why would anyone want to worship a God or even think of a God like that? No, that makes no sense whatsoever. So use this mind of yours and use it correctly. And when I use it, saying mind and learn to think and so forth, most people think, oh, I have to be very intelligent to do that. No, you don't have to be very intelligent to do that. Intelligence has nothing to do with it. Intelligence has nothing to do with it. It's what you're thinking that has everything to do with it. And anyone, I don't care what your IQ is, you can think bigger thoughts about yourself. When you think a bigger thought about yourself, when you love yourself more and more, things come into your life. Things come into your life. So we truly are living and moving and having our being in this one mind. All of us are connected. I think I explained to you a long time ago, how do we know that there's only one mind? How can we prove that there's only one mind? If there were more than one mind, we wouldn't all be seeing the same thing. If I had a different mind than you had, I wouldn't be seeing you. I'd be seeing something else. But because we all see the same thing, we know that it's only one mind, because the eyes do not see, remember. It's the mind that sees. The eyes see nothing. And the eyes, and most of your senses, by the way, lie to you also. You have to be very careful. We're taught that our senses, and they are wonderful things, but they lie. They do not tell you the truth. You know that with your eyes, because if you look down a railroad track, the tracks come together. And you know that's not true. But your eyes tell you that they do. See? But you know that. So your eyes do not tell you the truth. Your feelings tell you the truth. So how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel every moment about yourself? And why can't you learn to love yourself with all the bumps and whatever scars that you have? You can do that. You can learn to do that. You have to do that. I have a young man who comes for counseling off and on. And when he gets into trouble, then he comes back to me. The last time he was so down in the dumps and so negative about everything, hated, oh my gosh. And he said, my life is just horrible, Dallas, and nobody in the horrible people, and that. Well, I just kept talking and nudging him and nudging him. Last week he came, had the biggest smile on his face. His whole demeanor had changed. Because I explained to him, you have to love yourself back to center. You're not loving yourself. Well, he had an aha moment. He started to love himself. Wonderful people came in to his life, and he said, it's so funny. So I met this person. We sat and talked for 4 hours about all this stuff, Dallas. Well, of course, because you attract that in. When I said, when you're down in the dumps, when you're filled with negativity, that's what you're going to draw into your life. You're not going to draw somebody else into your life. You're going to draw into your life what you're thinking. So that's, we have an expression, what you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. So think prosperity, think abundance, think that job that you want. See yourself in those positions and so forth. And this thing called God or this mind or the universe will deliver that to you. That we know. Those are the things we know. We may not know about God all the things that we... And we may never know all the things about this thing called God. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary. What is necessary is to realize that thoughts go someplace and do something, and they do not return to you void. They go someplace and do something. Now, where do they go? Well, they never leave your mind, by the way. People think, oh, well, I'm going to do this and the other thing. It's the old story, you know, when you point your finger at somebody, three are pointing back at you. Three are pointing back at you always. The mind does not know that you're talking about anything or anybody but yourself. So when you say that rotten son of a whatever, your mind doesn't know that you're saying that about somebody else. It only knows you're saying it about yourself. Because we're all one. The mind does not separate that. So think about that when you're out yelling and screaming. I remember I used the car to see how advanced I have become in my thinking and in my consciousness. If I can drive the car without yelling and screaming at the people out there and the other drivers, then I realize that I have advanced somewhere. Because my mind knows perfectly well, my mind does not know I'm yelling and screaming at those people. I'm yelling and screaming at myself. You see? Because we're all one. There is only one. There is only God. We're some part of that. We're some part of that. So that's what this teaching is about. That's what metaphysics is about. It's not a separation. It is a unity. And you are the thing itself. So, know that you are. When I tell you that you are gods and goddesses, that is absolutely true. And you can find that in the Bible, and the words in the Bible say, know that ye are gods. And I will look that up and tell, well, in the King James Version, I can tell you probably what page it's on. I'll tell you what you can do is Google that, and it'll come up and tell you. Know that ye are gods. No other religion that I know of is going to tell you that. They don't want you to know that, because if you knew that, then you wouldn't go to church anymore. You see? You wouldn't go to church anymore. And they don't want to lose you. They don't want to lose the income, you see? And they want to have these big facades going on, which I have nothing against. As I said before, I think that St. Patrick's and all these beautiful cathedrals and so forth are absolutely wonderful. I go in and out of them all the time. I love to look at the stained glass windows. I love to look at all that religious stuff. But I know that that's all trappings, and I know that that's all man-made. It's all man-made.
Why go look for God when you are God?
Pardon?
Why go look for God when you are God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, and
for yourself.
Right. That which is another expression. What you are looking for, you are looking with. You see, everyone's looking for God, but God is not inside. There's a wonderful story years ago about Mount Olympus and all, and the gods, and they were mad at human beings, so they were going to hide. And somebody said, "Oh, we'll hide in the highest mountain." "No, they'll find us there." "Oh, we'll hide in the depths of the ocean." "No, they'll find us there." So one God finally said, "I got it. We'll hide within them. They'll never look there." And that's what has happened. We never look inside of ourselves to find and to know. And we're taught also, because if you came from in my family, the race mind things that went on there was, well, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're not God. You know, I told you the story about being thrown out of the Baptist church because I refused to say, they said, "We're all sinners." And I said, "No, I don't think so. I'm not going to buy into that. I don't think that I'm a sin." Then they said, "Who do you think you are?" "Jesus Christ." Now, you see, here again, they're right and they're not right. They want to make Jesus Christ into God, into the God. Jesus, if we're all God, then this man called Jesus was God also. But they see Jesus as God, not the big picture, you see. The big I am, I call it. They think whatever they're thinking, it's not right. You know, it's not a correct way of thinking. So no wonder those people have troubles and difficulties in their life. Here again, this teaching does not teach suffering and sacrifice. And religions teach suffering and sacrifice. You see, the Catholic religion is a religion. It's not a life-affirming religion. It affirms death. It affirms sacrifice. And they have an icon there. They have a cross with a man hanging on it. How can that be life-affirming when you're looking at a man hanging on a cross? A cross, by the way, back then, was an absolute torture device. Was an absolute torture device. So, answer me this. If back then, when they crucified Jesus, if they had the electric chair, would everyone be wearing little electric chairs around their neck now? You see? You have to think of these things. It's not life-affirming. This teaching is life-affirming. This teaching is life-affirming. We have a saying in religious science which goes, "Such is the nature of life that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear, and you are that opportunity." What does that mean? That means that this thing called God can only do for you what it can do through you, and it is always working through you because you are it. So there's the unity that we're talking about, and not the duality that most religions teach, and certainly the world teaches duality, because the world teaches good and bad. Good and bad. Now, here again, we'll go back to William Shakespeare. He had another little saying which goes, "Nothing is good or bad that the mind make it so." Nothing is good or bad that the mind make it so. And you know that because sometimes what I think is bad, you'll think is all right. It's your mind that's doing it. Your mind is doing everything. And I think I've said this 100,000 times, and I'll probably say it 100 more times because I need to know it also. There is nothing outside of mind. Mind is all there is, and mind is what's doing everything. It's your mind. When I say mind, I mean your mind is doing everything. It is bringing everything into your life, or it is keeping things from coming into your life because you have not cleared away the negativity that is in your thinking and the negations that go on inside of you. You must get rid of those negations. You must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must know that you are the thing itself, that you have the power to be able to do this. And you do not have to ask anyone's permission to do it. You just start to do it on your own. Now, here again, we'll go back to name, brand, religions, and so forth. People join groups, and this goes along with religious science or metaphysical groups also. People think that there's salvation through affiliation. And there's no salvation through affiliation. First of all, no one needs to be saved. We are all saved. But people think, oh, if enough of I join that group, and there's enough of those, and I think like them, then I'm going to be saved the same. You're already saved. So get rid of that fear that you're not saved. Get rid of the fear that you're going to go any place besides this thing that they call heaven, that there's anything like hell. There is not. The only hell there is the hell in your thinking, and that you are causing that. So mind, mind, mind. It's always going to be your mind causing everything. So then we use that other little expression, which will come to me in 1 second. You are always the cause unto your own experience. You are causing that. Now, I think I told you the story about my friend Alice Toomey. Alice Toomey and I went to ministerial school together. she had quite a life. She was a wonderful woman. She was Irish. She owned a pub in Brooklyn. She raised, I think, 7 or 8 children. Her husband died. She sold the bar and became a lesbian biker. After that, she gave that up and became a house mother at Barnard College. And then she became a minister. But her little saying was this. She used to say to me, Dallas, nothing is happening to me. I am the happening. I am the, you are the happening in your life. Nothing is happening to you. If you think something's happening to you, you're not thinking correctly. You're causing everything. You are the cause unto your own experience. You are the cause unto your own experience. What does that mean, that you are the cause unto your own experience? You can choose how you want to think about any experience that comes into your life. Excuse me. Any condition that comes into your life, you can choose how to think about it. You see? So you become the cause unto your own experience. Many people, and let's use Rose for a moment. She's not here. She's a wonderful woman. Everyone knows Rose. Rose went through the Holocaust and was in a concentration camp. She was the only one in her family that survived the Holocaust, that survived that. I said to her, how do you do that? And she's cheerful and nice. She said, Dallas, what was, was. I don't go back and think about it. What was, was. You see? And I think it was a man, Franco, but that's not correct. Anyway, he wrote a book about the concentration camps. It'll come to me, his name. And he discovered this. The ones that survived were the ones that lived in the moment. The ones who remembered what they lost did not survive the Holocaust.
Viktor Frankl?
Thank you. Viktor. Yes. So, don't go back into your past. Don't let your mind do that. Here again, this master teacher Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Let all that stuff go. We keep digging up the past. And the world loves to do that. That's why it keeps repeating itself. And we have that big expression, you know, the past repeats itself. Well, it repeats itself because you keep digging the damn thing up. Let it go. There's nothing you can do about the past except change your mind about it. If you had an unhappy situation in your life in the past, let it go. Take the emotional impact away from it, the emotional power away from it, and change your mind about it. And say, I needed that experience. It's brought me to where I am today. And this is the last time I'm going to think about it. The last time I'm going to think about it. It's so ridiculous to keep thinking the same thought over and over and over and over. Here again, I'll use this little thing. Everyone knows the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. It does not say, give me stale bread. It says daily bread. Not just our day's bread, you see. So why do you want to think yesterday's thought? Why do you want to think something that's gone? You see, live in the now. Eat your daily bread. Think your daily thoughts. Forget the past. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Live in the now. Know that you live and move and have your being in the mind of God, that you're an individualized expression of this thing called God, that you can use your mind, you can learn to think the thoughts that you want to think, and that you can make your life what you want it to be. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.